Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. So we are talking about the Eightfold Path. Aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about most of it now, haven't we?
Yes.
So, of course, you know it really well now, don't you?
Nope.
So you know that right understanding or right view has two levels, don't you? Do you remember that?
Yes.
No?
You hear it from someone else and then you know it. First, within yourself, from your own experience.
Yeah, it's planted the seed. Maybe you hear it from someone else. Maybe you hear it where you say, oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. You know, that's the seed is planted. You hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it. Something quite often from someone else, sometimes even from yourself. And every time that happens, it gets watered a little bit. And usually when we're watering it like that, we go into the negative, don't we? In our society, don't we? I should have remembered that. Don't we? We don't think, oh good, I just watered the seed, do we? What would be the difference?
No should.
And what would that do for your heart?
Open.
Yeah, it would open your heart. And we'd be pleased with that you're learning, wouldn't you? What happens if you think, oh, I should have remembered that? Is that open or closed?
Closed.
And are you thinking that you're learning or are you thinking you're stupid?
Thinking you're stupid.
Is that helpful?
Nope.
That's very interesting, isn't it? Then we have this resident expert up there that after the fact always knows exactly what we should have done. After the fact. And never thinks, oh good, I learned that. Oh good, I can see that again. Oh, I can see it again. So right view or right understanding, which I prefer, as you know, has that level, first the two steps of the first level, where you learn something and then it gets watered and watered and watered, and then all of a sudden it grows out of your own understanding, out of your own experience. Mm-hmm. So it appears. And that's how you really know something. Not because you heard it once and you should have remembered. That's the first level. And the second level is what? There is dissatisfactoriness. Have you noticed that, any of you? Did you notice you were dissatisfied when you had that infection? Was that satisfying or dissatisfying?
I just let it sort of... I did. It's okay.
No, were
it's
you...
okay, but...
Was it dissatisfying?
I hated it.
Yeah, I agree. It's dissatisfying. And that's the second level of the first step of the path. There is dissatisfaction. There is dissatisfaction. Is that true? You just eat, and then you have one more mouthful, and then you're too full.
Continuous.
It's continuous. There is dissatisfaction. There is a cause for dissatisfaction. What's the cause?
Grasping.
wanting something other than what's present.
Yeah. Anybody else want to put it in their words? Desire for an experience other than that which is present.
So I was going to say blindness. And that's a type of blindness.
So there's this I that's... There is an end to suffering. What is that?
Eightfold Path.
That's the Fourth Noble Truth. Realizing that there isn't any fixed identity, that your identity changes. When I say that, suddenly you remember, don't you? A minute ago you didn't remember, did you? Which I?
Mm.
Every minute there's a new I, isn't there? The object changes, the subject changes. The subject changes, the object changes, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You ever try watching your breath? Any of you in this room ever try watching your breath? What happens? Right? Mind goes all over the place, doesn't it? Any of you not had that experience?
Oh,
because oh, you don't watch your breath.
Oh, yes, I have.
So, every time there's a different object, there's a different subject, isn't there? A breeze comes in the window, and if it's really hot, that's, oh, what a nice breeze. You try to lean into the breeze. If it's really cold, oh my God.
Close the window.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
And 1,001 ways. Every time there's a subject, there's an object. Every time there's an object, there's a subject. Why did you look at the window?
I wondered if it was open because whether there was a breeze or not.
Because he saw me looking at the window because it was getting warm in here, right?
So, see how the different eyes just come up like that? Why wouldn't you just say, that's feeling? I'm asking you. Why wouldn't you say, that's a feeling of too warm?
True.
And what part of my body feels cool? Or how do I open my armpits more? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Why not do that? Because immediately there's too warm, and then check the window. Not just seeing that feeling. Is that true?
Yes. Yes.
So that's the cause of suffering. The end of suffering is when you actually realize that all of those things just come and go, and you keep bringing your mind back to a neutral place. When you decide to ride the mind rather than it riding you. And again, this requires patience and the ability to be proud of 1 millimeter of bringing your mind back. 1 millimeter. Interesting, isn't it? There is a way to the end of dissatisfactoriness, and that's the Eightfold Path. First, you have to practice the things of, like, learning new things rather than trying to be safe in your old habits. Isn't that why we repeat habits? Because we feel safe? I don't know about you, but that's what I do. Unless I decide it's time I broke them. Then I make up exercises for myself, and then I end up giving them to you. Like, if you always put your right shoe on first, put your left shoe on first. If you always, you know, wash the dishes with your right hand, holding the scrubber, let your left hand hold the scrubber. You know, just like keep changing the pattern so that you teach yourself to go beyond habituation, because that requires more awareness, doesn't it? A lot of the exercises you've given in art classes do that, don't they? Mm-hmm. They move the mind into a new space.
Yeah.
Or when you're out in the garden, playing in the garden, sometimes you see something and it's like you've never seen it before, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We all have those moments, but to actually feed them to ourselves outside of our priority is rare. Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
So we can do that. It's nice to know, isn't it?
There's choice.
Can be scary. Every once in a while I have a left-hand day when I start to shave, I see, you know, in my mind, I see the blood pouring down my neck before I start to shave.
Do you really?
Yeah. Well, I can't move it sideways. I've got to pull it this way. If I go like that, I'll slice. So there's an interesting edge.
Yeah, it's not suggested that you do things like drive on the wrong side of the street.
I tell you, every once in a while, am I on the right side here? It does happen.
But like, yeah, that's interesting that you would imagine the worst, isn't it?
I know. It's
that's like, really
it's
interesting.
It's real edge. Like, I have to let go of that.
Yeah, it's like that whole thing.
And then relax into it.
And then it's no problem because you have to just be there.
I know. And then I think, was it like that when I first tried it with my right hand?
Yeah.
Was there that edge,
sure.
You know, like that memory so long ago?
Yeah.
So it's intriguing.
Yeah. And memory changes all the time anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Depends on who we're telling some story to.
Yeah.
Suddenly this little part of it is a little more exaggerated when you're talking to this person or that part. But we always know, I can remember that. We never think the eye changes depending on the object, do we? You've seen yourself do that, haven't you? Change the story just slightly. So who is this self? That's continuously disappearing and another one popping up. With a total past and future history and you know, all proper documents, can pull out their ID and show you their birth certificate. And it's curious, isn't it? There is a way to the end of suffering. Which is the Eightfold Path. It goes to full circle. To actually begin to develop an awareness of the positive. We can't learn anything until we're open. We can't be open if we're beating ourselves up or wondering who's catching us doing the wrong thing. Can we? I can't, can you? Every con artist I've ever met, and the ones I haven't met too, no doubt, are always like being on guard with this beatific smile on their faces, looking over their shoulder for getting ready to move. Mm-hmm. I call it living in a tent. Always ready to pack up and go. Leave no trace. whenever we tell a lie, or we always then justify it, don't we? We pack up and go somewhere else. Don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was because he... well, she... lose our temper, whatever. Huh? If it ain't one thing, it's another. So it's right understanding, right thought. Remember right thought? I got the sneezes. You know where the nose is itchy, but you don't quite sneeze? Nothing really actually happens, but you feel like it's about to. You know that one? It's been going like that since yesterday at around 5 o'clock. Usually it's just listed as the very direct cease to do evil, learn to do good, purify the mind. But actually, it's the aspiration to cease to do evil. It's the wishing to be able to be open. The desire that is more important. Or as the Buddha said, karma is chetana. Action is motive. Any action depends on the motive for the result to come. Mm-hmm. Not on the action. Mm-hmm. Three people can perform the same act, pushing somebody. One of them is doing it to push them out of the way of a truck that's coming at them. One of them is doing it because they want them to fall down and break their leg. One is doing it because they see that a baseball is coming through the air really fast and they want to catch it. Three different motives. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
So the result isn't by the action, it's by the motive. So the aspiration to cease to do evil, the aspiration to learn to do good, the aspiration to move beyond judgments of good and evil, to see everyone on their own path and celebrate for them. And if you can, like, you know, help them take a step a little faster or skip a course, you do it. If you can't, you just get out of their way. Don't you? If you say all beings have Buddha nature, I don't know about you, but in my life I'd have to be really, really, really fucking stupid before I was capable of hearing. Any of you have, maybe you left the fucking part out, but the rest of it you can understand. There's a quality there. You have to transcend good and evil. You have to let go of that duality and see that everything is the possibility to learn. Purify the mind. See everything as the path. Isn't that a neat idea? And then this is the teaching of the Buddhas. Thusness. Of course. If everything is the past, then it winds around, but you never know around which curve you're going to suddenly be here. Does that make sense? So that's right thought. Right speech. You remember this one, don't you? The opposite of slander. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
due to the aspiration to promote concord, to create community. The opposite of harsh speech. To develop affection. To have affection. To be open. It's hard if one has, you know, a habit about neatness or something like that, isn't it, to do that one? If you have a way that the fork should be put in a drawer. You know what I'm saying? And we all have something like that, don't we? How the toothbrushes should be hung a certain way. Or, don't we? Mm-hmm. I have some little
quirk.
And to take that as like a gift. Mm-hmm. It's a practice, isn't it? There are so many ways we can practice the path in our day, if we're willing just to turn around and look at who's practicing. Mm-hmm. We don't always need to be on retreat, or I mean, certainly we should do a retreat every year, but we don't always have to do that. We can, you know, it's nice to get away from the ordinary and develop the space for new habits to arise. It's also nice to use your old habits for new habits. To practice awareness with it. And the third type of false speech is called idle chatter. They say, speak Dharma or practice the noble silence. That's what a quote of the Buddha's, presumably. I'm not sure who the note taker was. But anyway. In the later days, it was Sariputra, who was a fully awakened being and had a perfect memory. Ananda also was not fully awakened, but he had a perfect memory. So a lot of the talks or a lot of the teachings were repeated verbally. And you can tell that it was by either Ananda or one of the other, usually Ananda, his cousin, because they all start with, "Once, thus have I heard." Meaning, I was there when the Buddha said this. At one time, we were at such and such a place, and da 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 da, and doodle doodle doodle, and birdle and gar and the Buddha said. That's why we were studying the Majjhima Nikaya, lo, these many years ago, wasn't it? To look at. Some of those talks were passed down as an oral tradition for almost 500 years and still is in the Theravadan countries. There's still a whole sect of degrees that certain monks go for, for memorizing the whole Tipitaka, memorizing all the sutras, all the books of the sutras. And interesting, isn't it? Quite a custom, eh? So those are the three: right speech, right action. I undertake to train myself to refrain from what?
Harm.
Killing and harming. I undertake to train myself to refrain from false speech or lying. I undertake to train myself to refrain from taking that which is not
freely given.
They're all so interesting because they're all... I like the fact that it says I undertake to train myself, because otherwise it will be, thou shalt not. And when you start training yourself, you never know really what's freely given and what isn't, do you? Huh?
Yeah, because you...
Where did that deodorant come from? Who made it? Were they happy in their job?
I mean, if you wish something and then it, all of a sudden it appears and then, well, I said, well, how are you going to explain that one?
Does that happen very often?
Well, sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes happens, yeah. How would we explain any of it, though? I wouldn't, myself, whichever self that is. Another one of my favorite quotes of the Buddha is, trying to establish a first cause is conducive to madness. Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm.
Why,
and,
but why did he say that?
Well, let's go talk about that. Let's go to the bar. Have your drinks and discuss that. So that's the right speech, right action. And that's right action we did. And oh yeah, last one from sex, from
unwholesome with someone who's in a partnership.
With children.
Yeah.
Immoral sex, immoral sexual actions. With children, with those who are engaged, and with married, and you know, with those who have some dependence outside of your relationship. Does that make sense? No? Who are relating to someone else sexually or. Mm-hmm. Although I don't think that includes prostitution or people who hire themselves out as dates, but you know, I don't think that's professional. But some people do. The Buddha refused to talk about that. He refused to talk about homosexuality. Isn't that interesting? Kind of like our recent Pope.
Yeah, here.
I heard the Dalai Lama talk about homosexuality.
Did you?
Yes. I think I read somewhere that there's a difference between different schools of Buddhism on that subject. The Japanese, there are some monasteries where it's actually almost encouraged. But the Dalai Lama said if you're a Buddhist, that is forbidden, and if you're not a Buddhist, you should not cause harm. In other words, protection. That's how I understood it.
In other words?
Protection. Wear condoms.
Oh. Well, I suppose you should do that for any sexual act. Because, you know, you never know where you're going to get HIV, not just from homosexuals. Do you see the bias?
Yes.
Thank you.
I just thought it was interesting that he said in Buddhism it is not allowed. And
in the monasteries?
Yeah.
Yes, but in fact, in many of the Tibetan monasteries, there is a lot of rape goes on of the younger monks by the older ones. And it's been a problem a long time, so I think he's trying to address that. I think it's a specific circumstance. I have myself had several Tibetans, monks, tell me that. Some of you may have heard of that.
Kalarimshi. Kalarim, the young cat, in Kala Rinpoche,
yeah,
was just recently come up to say he was sexually assaulted,
yeah,
and abused as a young.
Yeah. And he was one of the ones who told me. It was a while ago. So it's not uncommon, so I think in his culture he would make a point of saying that, to like, excuse me folks, let's stop this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know, because I'm not the Dalai Lama, you really may have noticed that. Whoever this I is. Okay, and right, livelihood? It's basically about purity of livelihood. Doing as much as one is able. Isn't that lovely? I love that one. Fulfill one's obligation to the best of one's ability is the way it's often quoted. But I like, do as much as one is able. That was how Ananda Bodhi used to say it. Why would that be a good idea? Any of you give too much and then resent it? Can I? Any of you get too little and then feel guilty? Could I? You can see that there is a general theme in all of the Eightfold Path. There is a general theme going on here. It is how to be open and present without clinging to an identity. How to be alive in every moment without being stupid. It's basically learn from your past and be open to an unknowing. It's quite beautiful, isn't it? A really beautiful. I think it is, anyway. And then the sixth one, right effort. And this is like delicious, because this is what meditation is. This is like, for me, what meditation really is on about. And it's basically identifying the response. Excuse me. Okay, no sneeze. Identifying the response to sense contact as it arises. Like feeling cool and then looking at the window.
Mm-hmm.
Or feeling hot and then looking at the window. Feeling the feeling and then immediately finding an object. Outer. It's too hot in here. You notice how the sense of being too hot comes and goes when we're sitting here?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that curious? Mm-hmm. You notice if you focus on it, it doesn't go? So when we get preoccupied with something, we get glued to it. When we can identify the sense contact and see the thought that arises in relation to it, I hope you let yourself yawn a little more freely next time. Thank you. And when you can identify the contact, the sensual experience and the contact, and see the thought that gets glued to it, or identify the thought and see where the senses tend to go with it. Either one. You can identify it. Then you're actually in the moment, present, being able to see that you're not riding the horse is riding you. Does that make sense? I don't know. Does it? So, for example, one of those other little just as a Fletcher straightens an arrow, so does the wise man straighten his mind, which is fickle and unsteady and difficult to guard and difficult to restrain. Number one. Just as a fish taken out of its watery abode and cast on land quivers and throbs, so does the mind, hence should the realm of passions be shunned. Number two. It is good to restrain the mind, which is difficult to subdue and is swift moving and which seizes whatever it desires. A mind thus tamed brings happiness. Difficult to grasp and extremely subtle is this mind, seizing on whatever it desires. Let the wise guard it. A guarded mind brings happiness. Imagine if every sense contact didn't take you off of just being present and seeing the sense contact, but being where you are. So that every moment you could be new, in here, this moment, unknowing and knowing both at the same time. Wouldn't that be something? It's not a matter of doing it right, it's a matter of maintaining the aspiration. Just bring the mind back. Bring the mind back. It's a training. The habit of being distracted is a training, isn't it? Excuse me. Or not. This mind wanders afar, is solitary, formless, and rests in the cave of the heart. Those who subdue it are freed from the bonds of Mara. Here's another one. He whose mind is not steadfast and who knows not the good teaching and his faith wavers, the wisdom of such a man never becomes perfect. And then the next one. He whose mind remains untouched by lust and unaffected by hatred, and who has discarded both good and evil. For such a vigilant one, there is no fear. Isn't that curious? No lack of confidence, no need to be right or wrong. Knowing this body to be as fragile as a clay pot and fortifying this mind like a well-fortified city, let a man fight Mara with the sword of wisdom and let him guard his conquest and remain unattached to it. Ere long, alas, will this body lie upon the earth, unheeded and lifeless, even as a useless log. Whatever an enemy may do to an enemy or a hater to a hater, an ill-directed mind would do one a greater injury. That is one of my favorites. No one can do to you what you can do to yourself in terms of causing pain or discomfort. Neither father nor mother, neither mother nor father nor any other relative can do a person greater good than what his well-directed mind can do. Aren't those nice? So, on the back of my little write-up about the Eightfold Path, I have this little thing. It must be a book called Don't Sleep, There Are Snakes. Daniel L. Everett. I've been looking at it for a few months now. I still have no idea when I wrote it or why. So when we can see the sense object and knowing whether like, dislike, or a neutral mind arises, Like I can see the itchy feeling I'm about to sneeze in my left nostril. And I can see myself wanting to hold my mouth closed, wanting to do something to change it. I wish you'd let yourself, you just let her rip. I'm
trying.
That's the problem. Like just watching the itchiness without trying to change it, seeing the mind go to that and disliking it rather than just being present with it and seeing it and watching that it's impermanent because it goes if I don't feed into it. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that? Everything is impermanent. So without knowing when like arises, when dislike arises, and when neutral arises, knowing when they arise is the most important part. First awareness of body, then awareness of feeling. Once we're aware of body and we can allow it to just be what it is, then we can be aware of feeling of like, dislike, and neutral. When we can be aware of feeling of like, dislike, and neutral, then we get into awareness of mind states. But we can't practice the four foundations of mindfulness until we can actually watch our mind going here and there and subjects bringing up objects and objects bringing up subjects. And like, dislike, and neutral playing in the background. There can be pain without there being dislike, can't there? Mm-hmm. You've all experienced that sometime, haven't you? There can be pleasure without clinging to it, can't there? We've all experienced that too, haven't we? Where like music, where a note and it's so beautiful and then it passes and then the next note comes up and then the next, but is that true? Do you cling to one note? Why? Does it work?
No.
Well, maybe that's a problem.
Yeah.
Doesn't the combination of notes create the quality of music that we love so much, stimulating more than one part of the brain? I mean, that's, you know, I asked the wrong question.
That's the thing I have is really wanting good stuff to keep going.
But the same note or a song?
Both. I've been told by another teacher that I play like I can't bear to let go of each note, and it's kind of true. Like I'm really.
Yeah, but at some point you do let go, yeah, don't you? Yeah. And then you let, and then the next note is beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that there's a right or wrong way to hold on to notes. I'm saying that when it goes, you let it go and you go to the next one. I'm not talking like your teacher would. I'm talking about that we can like something without clinging to it. And that when it's done, when it's finished, then we let go and we enjoy it and then we look forward to the next. Mm. It's like not the danger of liking is clinging, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The danger of dislike is hatred, isn't it? Trying to get rid of something. And is either one of them kindness? Is it possible to hold on to something forever? Forever? Have you ever heard a note that went on for 50 years? 50 years isn't even forever. Is it? Maybe in your life, but not in mine. Knowing when like, dislike, and neutral arise, and therefore being able to practice equanimity when they arise. Being able to watch the yawning and watch the like, dislike, or neutral, and not be caught by them, and just be present. Then that's allowing all the mind states, the mind, different feelings to arise without getting caught. So that then there becomes a mind of equalness, of equanimity. Wouldn't that be nice? No? Maybe? To have the choice? Then you're free to see why that action, you know, created like or dislike or neutral, and whether it did in someone else. Or you're free to have much more, you know, much less reactive to every little blip in the environment. Then you're free to be a lover. Right mindfulness? How are we doing? Oh my God. Appamandena sampadeja. Strive on with diligence for awakening. Apparently the last words the Buddha said to his followers before he died. Appamandena sampadeja. Strive on with diligence for your awakening. Right mindfulness means diligence. Means you have to desire it, you have to want it. Isn't that when you're diligent about something? Isn't that? When you're really diligent about something, you just keep going back to it. Because you want it. Isn't that how you finished your porch? A lot of times it hurt. But due diligence. Mindfulness allows the appearance of each step of the Eightfold Path. When you're diligent and you can say, oh no, I better put the nails here, or oh, I should. With diligence means you're in the moment, seeing what is developing and able to move with it. It doesn't mean nose to the grindstone and don't see anything else. So, having done that, mindful of body, then we, next time we go to right concentration, tomorrow we can actually carry on with the last one, which is right concentration. But at the moment, it's like 8:30. Do you have any questions, answers, comments, or complaints from my little summary? Yes?
Equanimity is different in kind from indifference, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Equanimity means full awareness and not moved, not thinking there's something right or wrong, or no preference, seeing nothing arises without cause and whatever is causal is impermanent. Equanimity is seeing the river flow, not disliking some rock on the on the riverbed, or thinking that, you know, that person shouldn't have thrown their Big Mac paper in the river. Or
because I see indifference as just not caring.
It very much is that. Yeah. Not wanting to go there. Or.
Thank you.
Sometimes I used to do that really well when I was married. That's nice, dear. Any of you? Yes, dear. No? That's the only one who did it, I guess.
I can't answer on the grounds it may incriminate me.
Yeah. Any other questions, answers, comments, complaints?
So it's not trying to not cling to a feeling of, oh, this is really great and I want it to keep going. It's not trying to not have that feeling, it's watching it, right?
Watching it. Being able to see it.
And not fix it and not stop it, just watch it.
When you can see it, then you know when you want to let go. When you can't see it, when you just are focused on wanting to keep it, you're too close and you don't see it about to crash into a wall.
Yeah, I see it all the time. I keep thinking I'm supposed to not. Oh, stop it! I keep forgetting.
We hear something and then we hear it again. And then we hear it again. And sometimes we blame ourselves, or I should have remembered that or all that. But the real truth is, every time we hear it, it gets watered. And every time it gets watered, it starts being more healthy. And one time it just comes out and it just is there. Then we have choice. Because we're trying for power, but we're doing it by trying to disempower ourselves. By trying to change who is coming up. Rather than saying, oh, I can see the liking of this. And I'm here.
Okay, so it's not that you're trying not to mind that your nose is itchy. It's
you're aware
noticing
of it.
That you don't like him.
Yeah.
The itch.
Yeah. And then just noticing the dislike. Like right now, okay, imagine, you know, that Don's doing his neck. Imagine that, you know, you have an itch right there. Really, can you feel it? Like, really make a point of it. Oh, God, there's an itch right there. I've done this before in classes, and then most people don't feel an itch, but then within 5 minutes, you're all going like this. But you can make an itch anywhere on your body if you want. And then you watch yourself. At some point or other, there's going to be this impulse to scratch it or move or do something. And you just try to see that as it arises. And say, that's an impulse. And it's dislike. And I'm here. Then you are not moved by every little breeze that blows. You're able to watch them because you know that dislike passes like that, like passes like that, doesn't it? If you focus on it, it makes it stronger. If you're aware of it, it doesn't have the power. But when dislike has a little more of a pull than like, doesn't it? Light tends to make us kind of, you see me do this. And dislike is like, oh, I can't stand the mark on this mark. Rip the cover off. Oh, it's still there. Oh my God, I can't stand it. Oh, good. I know it's in there. Isn't that what we do? We keep peeking to see if it's still as bad as it was. Don't we? It's curious, isn't it? And we can always find it, can't we? Because that's what the mind's looking for.
Yeah.
Does that help? Any other questions, answers, comments, or complaints? Was that interesting to you, or was it boring reviewing the whole
thing? Oh, great.
Okay. In some ways, like that first one, you have to hear it over and over and over, and every time it gets a little stronger, or you get a little more open to yourself, and there's a much more sense of, why not? Why not have an adventure of this life? Why do I have that set of rules on my closet door? Good question. Well, because I feel more comfortable, which I. One wants to be in control. Is it possible? Oh, you're the one that elected Stephen Harper. Oh, okay. Got it. Etc. Okay. That's it then?
I was just going to say, when I can see that watering of, because you might ask this happens to me often, the question will be asked, and I'll not know as soon as I hear it. So this has been happening to me. It's like, oh yeah, of course, oh yeah, I remember now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's not like it isn't there. Yeah.
No, it's just that it isn't sprouted.
Yeah.
And it requires patience, doesn't it? Yeah. And trust in yourself. And in our society, that's not one of the things we're supposed to accomplish something. We're supposed to be brilliant, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sad, isn't it? Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Just who we are isn't already brilliant. It's kind of sad, isn't it? So you notice this extremely beautiful gold light in your heart, tingling away there. How's the chair? Is it good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it moves through your body, up to your shoulders, down to your hips, out your ribs, and then back, your spine. Down your legs, down your arms, up your neck. It pours out your pores in every direction. Above, below, in front, behind, right, left, four quarters, fills this room, this beautiful gold light from all of us. Just moves out from this house. Down into the earth, up into the sky, around in every direction. Fills the neighborhood, fills the city, fills the province, fills all in North America, out into the whole earth and into space. Wherever there is suffering due to ignorance of body, speech, or mind, this gold light just temporarily assuages it. You say, whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings so there is less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings so there is less suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings so there is less suffering. Thank you for your great compassion. Thank you. La-dee-da. Carry on tomorrow. Maybe we'll get the last one then. I thought after I get back from Ontario that maybe we might go from the Eightfold Path to Interdependent Arising.
Yes.
Because they follow one another.
Yes.
It's a little more complicated.
Yes.
But this is simple.
We can do it.
That's it, you're done.
I want to see you get up out of that chair. Oh. There it is. I want to watch you get up from that chair. Oh.